Psalm 71 here tonight. Didn't realize that tonight. I think I started the last four or five sermons in Psalms. Last trip through Psalms was pretty productive. Psalm 71. All right, Psalm chapter 71, verse 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Let's pray. Well, Father, we miss our friends and brethren tonight. Obviously, they're with family and friends. I pray that you'll give them a time of refreshment and renewing with them. For those that have lost family that they try to minister to during these times, I pray you'd bless those efforts. We are grateful for visitors this morning and appreciate seeing several. Glad for Mark doing better and getting another job and such. Glad that we've been able to reach a few folks that we had been interested in reaching on the phone and such. Pray that you'll be with this guy that tried to deal with for Brother Spurgeon. And pray that you might deal with his heart. I know Joseph and John had a good talk today with a guy at McDonald's too. So I pray you'd bless that. Pray you'd help us now to get our minds clear for a few minutes here tonight. And we pray that you'll bless as we speak in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the text is verse 1. It says there, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Subject tonight is confusion. In the Bible, confusion is connected with some truly vile things. I'm not going to really preach much about those, although we'll look at a couple verses in a minute. They're self-explanatory. But confusion is one of the worst things, I guess, that you could wish on an enemy. David repeatedly asked that his enemies be put to confusion. It is something that David, Job, Jeremiah, and Daniel all prayed that they could be delivered from confusion. It's something apparently the Lord allows to take over the minds and even maybe the collective minds of people. You'll recall that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And apparently when folks reject those things, the Lord is happy enough to allow confusion to take their places. And those are some conclusions that I've come to here this week. When it gets down to it, I think it's fair to say, you know, we see all kinds of things going on around us. And after thinking about this a little bit this week and today, I think that confusion is something that we see absolutely all around us all the time. I think here a year or so ago, we were down the street, and I know that Emma got cornered by this girl, and I went over to kind of help and almost wished I hadn't. But this girl was very confused. She thought she was a guy in a girl's body. Now, there's lots of that going around, and I can only say this. I may have been confused about some things in my life, but I never thought that I might be a girl. And I just want to say that, I mean, and with all joking aside, how confused and deluded and deceived must a person be to wonder if their gender is as they think it might be? I'm not even sure if I said that right, but whatever. Here is another confused man. His name is Dawkins, Richard Dawkins. And All you have to do is listen to him just a little bit. He's a rabid adversary for anything biblical, anything of God, and has been just absolutely a mad dog, slobbering, raging for years about the God of the Bible and creation and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. In the end, it turns out that his answer for one possibility for how the original life spark or whatever got here to this planet was that aliens may have brought it. So it's too much to believe in God, but it's fine for him to think that perhaps aliens came and planted the first life seed here. I think that somewhere in there is confusion. Went over this thing with a big bang here the other day. Gluon soup and Planck time, and we are a four-dimensional universe sandwiched between two five-dimensional objects and space, and wow. I'm afraid that I can only imagine in three dimensions. I don't know what four dimensions look like, much less five. And I don't think they're smarter than me. I think they're confused. I think they're deluded. I think they're deceived. Here in our country, if you're a criminal punk who gets shot by a cop, you're a hero. It's weird. If you're a Palestinian who gets shot by a cop with rubber bullets, you are being persecuted. Actually, he just saved your life. He could have shot you with something real. But that's a horrible, horrible thing. Here, we're surrounded by folks that would have you arrested for killing a cat. But it's nothing for them to advise someone to kill an unborn baby. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. Here's John the Catholic that I've been dealing with some. And I honestly, it's confusion. And so I got thinking about confusion in those lights. The Bible says here, Psalm 71, one, let me never be put to confusion. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been confused a couple of times. Have you ever been driving along a familiar road on your way to church or wherever, and your mind is a million miles away doing something else, and so you take the wrong exit? So you get to the top of the exit, and you look around, and you go, oh, this is the wrong exit. Because none of the landmarks are the same. Things are different than you expected. It's just a very confusing moment. But you got confused. Did you ever jump into the middle of a conversation you thought you knew what they were talking about, only to learn a couple of minutes later that you didn't know what they were talking about, and you've been talking about something else while they've been talking about something else, and they think you're an idiot? Lord, let me not be put to confusion, right? Get to a place like that, the landmarks are unfamiliar. The facts aren't coinciding together. One time I was talking to a couple of guys, this is back in high school, and they were talking about Jerry Moore. Well, I knew Jerry Moore. Jerry Moore was my pastor. He had a bunch of foster kids and stuff and lived in an old school. And so they were talking about Jerry Moore, and I jumped right in. Oh, yeah, Jerry Moore, rah, 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 rah. On and on and on about Jerry Moore. Only to hear them say, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about another Jerry Moore. So shut up. See, I was confused. Apparently, confusion is the frame of mind of most of the people around us. You stop and consider the news media, college professors, the so-called experts, evolutionists, scientists, and a good number of your neighbors, and frankly, quite a number of Christians. I am come to the conclusion, after looking through this carefully, that along with Roloff, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates, and all the inmates are confused. Now, the psalmist prays and says, let me never be put to confusion. But the thoughts are messed up. The Bible says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. It says in another place that they will continue to wax worse and worse, not only deceiving, but being deceived at the same time. I read about unreasonable and wicked men. Apparently men who, because of their wickedness, either can't or don't or won't think right. And so I'm going to talk to you tonight for a little while about confusion. It's easy to get confused in a blizzard or a hard rainstorm. I've learned to hate those Minnesota nights where it's rained and everything's wet. And so you have a glare coming off the road as you meet cars coming your way. And meanwhile, all of the stripes, because of the salt in the winter, are all kind of gone. And so you're not quite sure sometimes which lane you're in. Meanwhile, you have this glare coming at you and stuff. I've learned to hate those things. It's easy to get confused. And so if you lived out in the country in the middle of nowhere during a Minnesota blizzard, you could easily get turned around going to the outhouse and wind up out in the middle of nowhere dead, confused. It's easy to get confused on ground you're unfamiliar with. Easy to make a bad decision when you're confused. And so in light of that, I'd like to go through a few things that contribute to the confusion. And plainly, these are things that you need to steer away from. Look, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18. Now, these are the two passages that mention a couple of vile things that are confusion. And when you read them, you'll know what they are, and you'll be able to agree with me that they are sin. Okay? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Boy, is that confusion. Leviticus 20 and verse 12. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. It's confusion. You should be able to see easily here that sin helps confuse. And we'll say more about it in a second. Look in Ezra chapter 9. With each of these, you're going to have a few to turn to, just because the Bible is the best commentary on itself. Ezra. Corners of my pages are glumping together. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. And notice verse 7. Here is Ezra praying, since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass. Sin, right? Unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands to sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. One more along this line. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9:7. Okay, Lord, let me never be put to confusion. If you don't want to be put to confusion, ladies and gentlemen, even as Christians, you need to stay away from sin. Look in Daniel chapter 9, verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Now, I go back and I think about Joseph, who went through so much and gets sold off into slavery to the Midianites and then to the Egyptians, to Potiphar's house. Here's a guy that would have had all kinds of excuse to have some sort of mental breakdown, some sort of nervous type breakdown type thing. But it's funny, he never did. In fact, in the midst of the conflict, Kim Kardashian comes in and says, "Hey, baby, come this way." And he says, "How could I sin against God in doing this thing?" And in spite of imprisonment, in spite of slavery, in spite of being sorely maltreated, Joseph came out of this whole thing with a clear head and a clear mind. He was never confused because he knew what was right and he knew what was wrong, and he refused to cross the line. Now, there's another side to the story. In Romans chapter 1, most of you are very familiar with that passage. "But when men knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Right? And it says, "Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened," and they began a down-spiraling progression down to having a reprobate mind, with God at various junctures stepping in and saying, "I'm going to give you over to these things." By the time it's over, you have people very much in the same confused state of mind as that young lady that Emma and I ran into that day, who was confused because she thought she was a guy in a girl's body. Now, that's confused. And there's a sequence of things that people go through to get there. In fact, there's a sequence of sin and trespass and iniquity that folks pass through. And I earnestly believe that what we're seeing in our country is a breakdown of people's mental state and capability of even thinking right, because they're confused. And one reason they're confused is because of sin. Again, here you have folks who, if I have an unwanted dog and kill a puppy, they would gladly put me in jail. However, they will readily support every woman who gets pregnant and desires to kill that child to be able to do so. Something is wrong with that thinking. There's confusion involved. There's a defiled conscience. There's a defiled mind. There's a seared conscience and mind involved, where folks are not thinking right. Now, folks, the lesson for us here, we're saved. We have access to the mind of Christ. That's what this is, the mind of Christ. If you don't want to be confused, if you can pray with the psalmist, "Let me never be put to confusion," then you need to stay away from sin. I'm not saying you're ever going to be sin-free. I'm not saying that you're never going to falter or fall. I'm saying that as a habit, you need to get rid of your sinful practices and quit playing around with it. Otherwise, you wind up, perhaps, confused. There's another thing along this line. We've looked at sin. There's another important category to look at. Look in James chapter 3. book of James, chapter 3. And again, I've got a few verses for you to turn to, but all in all, really simple stuff. James chapter 3. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. For if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, that is the wisdom that causes bitter envy and strife, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see in this passage two kinds of wisdom. The kind that comes down from above, right? But the kind that's also down here, earthly, sensual, devilish. In verse 16, where that kind of wisdom is, there is confusion. There's confusion. So one thing that's connected with confusion is not just sin. It's a certain brand of wisdom. Now I know that many of you know these passages largely by heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. It's never wrong to warn a Christian that there is a wisdom in this world that is your enemy in every respect. It's wrong, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish, and it will lead you to confusion. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There is a wisdom that is not of God in this world. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now back to chapter 1 for just a moment. Let's go back to verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. For it is written, I, God, will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. It is God's stated purpose to destroy the wisdom of this world. In part, He wants to do so because it is confusing. That kind of wisdom is confusing. Now, again, there's probably 300 places we could go to. Let me just take you to two or three. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 real fast. Proverbs 18. I want to say that I know what I'm talking about here. I wasted 5 good years, a lot of time and a lot of money going to college. Now, I'm not saying that if you go to college that you'll waste your time. I'm saying that I did. And I went not knowing what I was doing. I went and got exposed to things that I was unprepared to deal with at the time. And I want you to know there is a wisdom in this world that is polluting. There is a wisdom and a knowledge of this world and in this world that will ruin you if it gets a chance. It is confusing. Now, for instance, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Through desire, a man having separated himself. See, folks, the world believes in separation. Did you ever notice that? I mean, they think that we're dumb for being separate, but the world is happy to separate themselves off and segregate in order to get a certain brand of wisdom. It says here in verse 1, through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. You were never called to intermeddle with all wisdom. The Lord God placed a tree in the Garden of Eden. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. But Eve saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, so she partook of it, and she died. And she corrupted herself. And she wound up confused. Confused enough to offer the same fruit to her husband who took of it and died. And that's where the confusion started. Notice further in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. We'll look at that a little more in a second, but that his heart may discover itself. Folks, we now live in a world where it seems like all wisdom is pointed to helping me get to know me better. But that a man's heart may discover itself. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just want to go to college and find myself? I know where I am. I just think it's weird that folks talk like that. Smart, intelligent people, folks, they're confused. They're confused. And I want to say, you can get confused. There's a wisdom that you need. There's a wisdom you've got to have. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look in Job chapter 28 real quick. Not an awful lot more turning, but I want you to see these. Because I want you to see the difference between the two kinds of things we're dealing with. Job 28. Job 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now there's a wisdom and an understanding that you need. Not the kind that leads you to partake of more and more of what the world has to offer. That's not real understanding. That's earthly, sensual, devilish. Look at Job 32, verse 8 real fast. Job 32 and verse 8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. That is not what the world offers. Here is, again, Richard Dawkins, a big proponent of the Big Bang and those things that I was talking about the other day, the gluon soup, the Planck times, the four-dimensional universe sandwiched between two five-dimensional objects. It's confusion. I get confused at just telling you about it. It's confusion. Here is nonsense that comes from universities and research laboratories and think tanks. People get together, smart people, geniuses in the same room, and they think. What they come out with is gloop. It's confusion. It's nonsense. They've decided that any kind of love is good love. Before we get too much further in this, people are going to be marrying their poodles. The Bible says that's confusion. I just want to say that when I decide that I love a man that way, I'm confused. Confused and wicked. But it's confusion. And so now, they're actively in schools telling your 6 and 7 year olds, who, by the way, whose hormones are not in action yet for that kind of development anyway, but they're brainwashing them into wondering whether if they were born little boys,
if they're really little boys, or if you just might not be a little girl in a little boy's body. Now, I would hope that someone will be strong enough to say, hey, don't be an idiot. We are talking about six-year-olds here. Think about a generation of people that have grown up without God, without thou shalt not steal, without the moral spiritual landmarks set in place, the boundaries. Do not go past that. Mom and dad are divorced. In fact, you got two mommies. And now a teacher comes along, a psychologist in junior high, your school psychologist in junior high, your school psychologist in high school. They give you a screening test to see if by some chance your gender might be opposite of what you think it is. It's confusion. It's confusion. And people not only get confused, they get suicidal. And I'm convinced they become demoniac. It's confusion. It's an intermixing of wisdom, the wisdom of this world that's earthly, sensual, devilish. It's wicked. It's ungodly. You're better off to teach your kids the Ten Commandments and thou shalt not. And there's the line right there. Never cross that line. Be like Joseph. Never cross that line and you'll keep your mind like Joseph kept his mind. But first of all, sin. But second of all, wisdom. Confusion is clamor. Confusion is too many voices being raised at the same time. It's a lawnmower and a chainsaw and somebody banging pans all in the same room. There's too much noise. And so while we preach on the street that you must be born again and to fear God, at the same time there's another clamor going on those same streets where people are being taught absolute devilish nonsense. All I want to say is that you're a fool to pay for that. You're a fool if you go and sit in a classroom where somebody is talking about idiocy. Think of all the things that the so-called experts have tried to sell. It's the wisdom of this world. Oh, you're unhappy? Here, take this pill. Oh, you're not glad you're pregnant? Oh, this is an unwanted child? Well, why don't you kill it? It's confusion. It's too much clamor. And it's no wonder that people go crazy. I want to connect confusion with something else real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I found four things connected. I may not be doing the best job of presenting them tonight because they came together a little late today after the Lord switched directions on me. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Now, the context here is speaking in tongues. And I know that you understand those things. So the context is speaking in tongues, verse 29. Prophets sometimes trying to speak multiple prophets at the same time. Okay, that's obviously confusion. They're speaking in different languages at the same time. That's more confusion. Verse 30, if any thing be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's an important verse. That verse says that I control what I say. And all the prophets did. You don't fall down on the floor and jerk around like an epileptic and start barking and mewing like a cat. That is not the Holy Spirit. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, that context is prophesying. Make sure that we've got prophesying down to where it belongs. Look in the book of Amos, chapter 3. The best definition of prophesying
as it applies to us, as far as I'm concerned, in the Word of God. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 8. It's as simple as this. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? What is prophesying? Prophesying is simply you saying what God said. It's as simple as that. It's putting out the Word of God. Okay? Now, I say that to say that God is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14 in the context of prophesying. And I just want to say that one of the treasures that you have that the world knows nothing about is, thus saith the Lord, God hath said. Your certainty in that, your surety in that, is one of the greatest treasures that you have. The fact that God said, thou shalt not, under any circumstances, do this, is one of the greatest treasures that you have. And where people get in trouble is in their moral system that doesn't exist. And so they go ahead and commit that. And then that other thing as well. And so they wind up confused because we are all spiritual creatures. And after you've defiled and seared your conscience and gone against God's law, you are a mess and your mind's a mess and you get to a point where you can't think right. Most of us have run into Christians that no longer really think in a linear, reasonable fashion. Why? Because they're confused. And I'll tell you one reason why a lot of them are. They don't have a Bible that says the right things. They have Bibles that edge around certain issues and change. Did you know, for instance, that the word fornication is not in the New Bibles? There are very, very few new versions of the Scriptures that even have the word fornication in them. Now, I wonder why that would be. Well, if you take it out, then I know what happens. I know how people are. It's something that's committed. When that thing is committed, then there's a conscientious issue that sets in. And then there's a separation from God that sets in. And all of a sudden, a Christian even is confused simply because his Bible doesn't lay out and prophesy what is right. So I want to say there's an issue of sin, and there's an issue of wisdom, there's an issue of prophesying. One last thing. Look in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, and if you'll go down to verse 29, Paul is at Ephesus. There's a big uproar because the idol makers, the silversmiths, don't appreciate his preaching and don't appreciate him revealing that their craft is just idolatry and wickedness. And so starting down in verse 28, when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. That's the goddess Diana. The city of Ephesus was given over to Diana, false goddess. Verse 29, and the whole city was filled with confusion. Having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions, in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he should not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They were confused around the subject of idolatry. Sin, wisdom, the wrong kind of wisdom, prophesying or a lack of it, and idols lead to confusion. Look, if you would, just a couple other places along this line. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, we're closing up on being done here pretty quick. So, Isaiah 45, go down to verse 16. They shall be ashamed and also confounded. There's another word, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. I have tried to be faithful in saying to the Christians of our day that some of the Christians of our day are the greatest idol makers in this world. They construct a Jesus Christ after their own imagination and devices and don't hold to the Jesus Christ of the Bible at all, other than the parts they like. And therefore, you now have people, and the best way to describe them is confused Christians. Because there are some Christians that, if you try to talk to them about proper worship, whether there should be tongues or whatever, whether you talk to them about whether Mary had a part, whether Jesus... Look, how confused must you be from the Bible, away from the Bible, if you're not even sure that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. If Jesus Christ wasn't the Son of God, if He didn't shed God's blood, what good did His death, burial, and resurrection do for me? How could you be confused about it? But they are. I have to admit that when I was in college, not Bible college, I started searching a little bit on my own and started reading the Bible. And I have to admit that my mind was far enough gone at that point. I'd had enough of the world's wisdom thrown at me that I was reading things, and now I know I was coming out on the opposite end of the spectrum and conclusion from what the passage was even saying. I was confused. One of the scariest things in this world that I think could happen to me is that my mind would quit working right. I mean, it's bad enough if you have a, you know, pneumonia or some other part of your body's not working right. But, buddy, it is scary to think that the thoughts that I'm thinking might not contribute to reality. I would think that Christians would be extremely interested. They're interested in taking care of their buns of steel. They're interested in taking care of their health. Why wouldn't you be interested in taking care of your mind? There are things that contribute to confusion, sin, the wisdom of this world, false prophesying, idols. One of the greatest treasures that you have is absolute certainty of what God said. Just another moment here. Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Passage about the Word of God, down in verse 20. Have not I, God, written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee? Look at one more passage on certainty, then I'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. One of the greatest treasures that you have is absolute certainty. No confusion involved. I know what is written. I know what God said. I know what the Bible teaches.
I know this is true. Certainty. It's one of the greatest treasures you have. It'll keep you out of confusion. Look in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I dare say that a good number of Christians that I know, in fact many, fight, this warfare, uncertainly. And they do stuff wrong, and they wind up confused because God doesn't give them the victory. It doesn't turn out like they thought it would, like their favorite TV evangelist said it would. And so they're confused. They're confused because they didn't take the certain route, what God said, as opposed to what some hick said. Lord, let me never be put to confusion. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You'll bless this tonight. It's an Easter Eve here where we have preached this morning about a resurrected Savior. We know that all things have become new for those of us that are saved. And we're glad, not the least of which is the opportunity to renew our minds day by day. And Father, I pray for all here within the sound of my voice that we should not be put to confusion. Daniel, Jeremiah, David, and Job all prayed to be delivered from confusion. May You help us not be confused. May You help us to stick with that which is certain, that landmark that is always there, always in the same place. May we not fudge around the numbers and around the edges and the borders. Help us, Lord, to not be put to confusion. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 333. 333. I think about that girl that Emma and I ran into in the street that day, and sometimes it's not the easiest to have compassion on folks who have gone so far out of the way. But when I stop and think about how confused a mind must be that goes where that girl's mind has gone, and when I think how extraordinarily confused a mind must be, a man like Richard Dawkins or Stephen Hawking or one of these astronomical experts of some sort, theoretical physicists whose intelligence quotient is absolutely over the wall, and to think of the dumb, stupid things they come up with that are completely contrary to the Word of God, but also just to conscience and common sense. I can't help but feel sorry for them. And folks, there are many Christians today
who have been misled for so long down wrong paths with wrong teachings and wrong Bibles by the wrong experts and the wrong scholars, that they no longer have simple fundamental truths to hang an anchor on, and their landmarks are all moving. And so when they take the exit, every exit is a new adventure, because there's nothing firm, there's nothing solid, and they're confused. And I can guarantee you right now, the average mainstream Christian hardly knows what to believe beyond something about Jesus Christ. They don't know because they're confused. They've been ill-taught. I hope that you'll put your labors into keeping your mind clear with sound, plain precepts and facts, and build from the ground up, one block at a time, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Let us not be put to confusion. Let's look this way. On the fourth, appreciate you coming, and glad you were here tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, glad for the fellowship of the brethren today, and especially around an open tomb, an empty tomb, like we had a chance to take part in. Father, we know how weak we are. We know that we're failures in many respects. We are laboring to get something done for you in this last moments of this age, and we would love very much for you to bless our efforts. Father, may you give us wisdom. May you continue to give us the right kind of thoughts and the right kind of information. Help us to take them and use them and to build a solid, firm sense of things. Father, help us never be put to confusion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody.